Doing well.
Let's take our Bibles and let's go to Matthew chapter 28 this morning. So we'll start for gospel growth. As we're getting started, let's do a checkup from last week. Last week we talked about how faith is the beginning, right? It's not the end. It's not that we open the door of faith and we run smack dab into a brick wall. There's many that believe that, right? The minute you turn your brain off and believe is the moment that you're done, right? It's actually, according to the Bible, the beginning, isn't it? Because there are results to faith. There are results. And we talked about two results. One of those is if we believe, we become partakers of the divine nature. And we talked about how that means that that allows us to grow. We cannot grow if we do not have a new nature and God actually gives us his nature. Do you remember that? You with me? Okay, so the moment we exercise faith, we receive a new nature, the divine nature. There was a second thing we talked about that is a result of faith, and that is that we have provision for life and godliness. Now, what is that provision? What is it all attached to? What's the provision for life and godliness that we have when we believe? Do you remember? Maybe I should say it's who. Who is the provision for life and godliness? It's Christ, yes, right? Remember how we talked about this? We talked about how Christ is the storehouse, that the moment we believe, we walk into this warehouse and we discover everything that is available in the knowledge of Christ, all of the promises of God that are available in the knowledge of Christ. So here's our question. I want you to think back over the last week. How did you access the storehouse of the knowledge of Christ this week? How did you walk into that storehouse of Christ this week? And yes, the word, and yes, the knowledge of Christ, but specifically in your own life, how did you do it? What did it look like for you? Does anybody want to share just real quick? Hey, this is how I walked into the storehouse of Christ and picked up one of the packages of the power that is the knowledge of Jesus and experienced it for myself. Anybody? Someone to share, Jonathan?
I think that's what you're looking for. So specifically in my devotions, I had two different study Bibles.
Yeah.
And I journaled some prayers as I was praying and then wrote notes and did like a word study on a verse from a passage that I was studying.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, exactly. Definitely. It's where we, instead of looking at Christ and from the outside in, we actually walk in and experience it for ourselves. Pops, what were you going to say? Pops, did you have one?
Yeah, the daily Bible reading and my prayer.
Yeah. Have a sweet time this week. Awesome. Praise the Lord for that. Okay. The reminder is that faith results in provision for life and godliness, and it comes through Christ. So all of this talk about faith, we're trying to define it because really it's the beginning, right? But it's not the beginning as in something that we just leave behind, right? So the starting gun of the Christian life goes off. Was my best gun at this hour, okay? The gun goes off, and we step across the starting line of faith, and that's the moment we're done with it. We're finished with faith, right? It's like, faith, woohoo, had it. I started, and now I'm done with faith. It's gone. It's behind me, right? It's not something that we start, and then we just leave behind. It's something that we actually continue on in. We continue in faith. So it's the journey of the Christian life. Our Christian life is to be lived in faith. So we have to actually understand what is all in faith. What is all wrapped up in it? Because we're going to see today, it's way more than just something we mentally assent to. Or something that we believe and then we walk away from. It's gospel growth is not like we grow up and, you know, we're like growing up and our parents have been raising us and then gospel growth happens and we move out of the house of faith and we leave it behind. And it's a good memory for us. It's a distant memory. It's kind of like There's the house at the end of the lane. I remember when I believed. I remember that. I mean, that was a really, really good day when I believed. But you know what? I'm living in this other house now. I mean, I grew up. Right? That's not how faith works in the Bible. Like, the way Jesus describes this life of faith is much, much different. So what does he say in Matthew chapter 28? Look at it with me in verse number 19. What does he say? He says, "Go, therefore, and make believers of everybody." Is that what he says? That's not necessarily what he says. They do have to believe, but they're not just people that believe and then they're done with it. There's something much more happening, and that is this word disciples. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. How can you learn all that I have commanded you? It's going to take a life of continuing on with the Lord. That is what faith really is. It's not something that we grow out of and then we leave it behind. Pops?
Yeah. Does it insinuate up there, go to you therefore and make disciples out of all nations? Is that what that really means?
Out of all nations. I'm not sure I understand the... Right. I think it insinuates that we go not just to where we're at, but we go outside of our groups to reach out to other people in missions. Yes. Yeah. But that's going to come. Okay. That's coming in April. We'll talk missions in April. Okay. So we go and we don't just make believers. We make people that are disciples. A disciple, simply put, is someone who follows someone else. That's a disciple. So if you have a trade that you want to pass on to somebody else, you find a disciple and they follow you and they watch you do it. So if you're good at working on cars and you want to teach somebody else how to do it, you find a disciple. You don't just hand them a book and be like, "Figure it out, bozo." Okay? You say, "Now come here. Let me show you." Okay. When you turn this bolt right here, this is the pressure that you want to feel. Okay? Okay, when you listen to the engine, do you hear that right now? Do you hear that? That's what the engine should sound like. Or do you hear that little like thing? Okay. It's not right. Okay. And here's why it's not right. Okay. That's what it means to be a disciple of somebody. Now, when Jesus says that we're to go and make disciples, we're to make followers of him. So we see in Acts some of the first believers after the disciples. The Holy Spirit comes. Verse 41, those who received the word were baptized. In other words, they believed to the point that they were willing to show it off. They believed, right? What happens to them immediately? Verse 42, they devote themselves to certain things. And you could even say of that word devote there, it means continue on in. It means that they stuck themselves to it and they never moved past it. They said, "This is how we live." So faith then is not really a starting block. It's more like rings on a tree. Remember how we've talked about this? Faith is the beginning, but we never leave it behind. It supports everything else that happens, right? So your first blank is faith is a journey that we continue and start in. We start and continue in. It's a journey. We start, but we continue in it. We never leave it behind. And this is exactly what Peter's been saying in 2 Peter chapter 1, isn't it? So gospel growth occurs as we add to our faith. In fact, the wording that he uses is, make every effort to supplement your faith with. And the way that word is used is, it's used that faith is necessary for what is going to come. To the point that you add rings on the tree, and that is gospel growth. So gospel growth then, our point this morning is this, faith continues on in a life of discipleship. That's what it means to believe. That's what it means. So we have to figure out what that actually looks like in our lives. Let's pause for a minute, pray, and we'll dig into some of these points. Heavenly Father, you actually tell us in your word that if we think we believe but we don't obey and follow you, that we're not really your disciples. And so help us understand what it means to be a disciple. Lord, if we are your disciples, help us to understand what that looks like. Save us from the pain of walking the wrong way. Save us from the dissatisfaction. Save us from the destruction of everything we've worked for. Help us to see what faith continues on in. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So what do we continue on in? We're going to look at three things that faith continues on in. The first thing is we continue on in Christ. We continue on in Christ. Christ is the source, right? And gospel growth always goes back to Christ. Always. He's the agent of growth. He's the empowerment of growth. He's the end of growth. He's the pattern of growth. All those things we've talked about at length. So Christ is what we continue on in. But what does that look like? Well, here's what it looks like. It looks like all things that pertain to life and godliness comes through the knowledge of Christ. That's where it comes from. So then, your blanks, we learn, obey, and follow Christ's teachings and his example. That is discipleship. Discipleship is to know what Christ teaches, to obey what Christ teaches, and to follow what Christ teaches and how he worked it out. That's what it means to be in discipleship. So let's talk about what it looks like. So those three words are very important because Jesus uses them all to describe this life of continuing on in faith. So to continue on in faith means we learn, we obey, and we follow. Let's look at learn first. This is Matthew 11:29. Matthew 11:29 says, Jesus says this. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Now, if you're going to learn from someone, what does that mean? What does that mean? That you need an answer, right? That you do not have an answer and someone else is going to give it to you. That's what learning is, right? So we learn from Christ because we don't get to decide how the Christian life works. Okay? We don't start this life of faith and say, yes, Jesus, thank you for getting me into eternal life. Now, I'm going to figure this out on my own. No, we learn from him. So we say, what do you want, Christ? That's what I want to do. What are you saying? Remember, we're defining genuine faith, right? So if we misunderstand faith, then we think that it's actually easy to believe, but hard to continue on. Have you ever seen that in anyone before? Someone that it just seemed like it was easy for them to believe, and really probably what it was is that they just made some mental assent to who Christ is or what he's done, and they weren't willing to say, that's my everything, right? Because if we misunderstand this continuing on in faith, it's easy to believe, but it's hard to continue on in. So we learn from Christ. But then we don't just learn, we also obey. We obey. So Christ is saying here, he's giving us an example of what it looks like to understand this life of discipleship. What does he say? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Why do you believe, think you believe, and not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them. That's the huge key word there. We miss that one a lot of times, don't we? Because we think that if we come to him and hear his words, then we're going to have a foundation. But he says something more than that, doesn't he? You know this story, right? This is the wise man built his house upon the wise man built his house upon the wise man built, okay. So for those that not just hear the words and know them, they actually hear them and, what's it say? You tell me. Do them. You have to obey. What are they like? I'll show you what he's like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But, and I wonder, where are you sometimes in your faith, in your gospel growth? The one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. And I don't need to really go through all the details of this, but would you just see this, right? Just see this? If you do not obey, everything you work for could crumble, right? This is actually a house that was built in San Francisco, and there's a whole website devoted to this house. It was built on, obviously, a cliff there, and there's pictures taken of it. You know, people would go to the beach and they'd take their pictures with the house in the background. It was a really big thing. It was in the house world. It was a celebrity, you know. And it'd be really cool, like, if this story ended with, you know, one day a wave came in and the foundation was bad and it crumbled, right? That would be really cool, but it burned to the ground. So anyways, you know, not the point. James 1 says it this way. James 1 basically adds a little tweak to what Jesus is saying. He's saying that if we hear things, we see things about ourselves that need to change, and then we don't change them, it's foolish. We walk away. But it's not just foolish because of what Jesus said, is it? It's not just like, well, that's not profitable. You heard something and you didn't do anything about it. That's the way we kind of view it sometimes, isn't it? But it's much more than that. It's not just unprofitable. It's destructive, isn't it? It's destructive. It's a waste. So you work for things and you live your life and you spend time on stuff and it's a waste. So James 1 says, you look in the mirror and you may have all the best intentions, right? I'm going to get that little bit of spinach out. It was a delicious salad, but there it still is, right? And you look at it, and the way James describes it is that we can actually get distracted and not fix it. So we can see things, and we can be like, yes, yes, wow, that's awesome, I'm getting it. And we walk away, and if we do that, we end up looking like this, right? Happy, but just absolutely disgusting. I'm going to warn you, there are a couple of disgusting slides. This is, on the disgusting level, this is like maybe a 3. It's getting even better, okay? Just let me tell you, it's getting even better. But it's not just unprofitable, it's destructive. So we must learn and we must obey, right? The third thing we're going to talk about is this, that we have to follow in Christ's teachings and example. So we enter this life to continue in it. If you believe, if you follow Christ, you follow him to continue on in following him, and that's following his example. Jesus says, okay, what's it going to look like to follow me? What's it going to look like? Well, here's what it's going to look like. It's going to look like you getting down on your hands and knees and doing dirty things. When he'd washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord. You've heard what I said, and so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also obey. You also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. What is this going to look like? It's going to look like you doing the things that you don't think you should have to do. That's what it means to follow Christ. And of all the analogies he could use, he goes to the most disgusting place he could possibly go with humans, right to their nasty feet. Here they come. You ready? There they are. Look at that. All right. So what does it mean to follow Christ? It means to take up someone else's feet and wash them. And he's not saying that necessarily we're supposed to do this, although perhaps that's how far we ought to go at times. But it means that we say, there is nothing that is too far from me. There's nothing that I am above. There's nothing that I'm greater than. I'm willing to lower myself because this is the example of Christ. And these are pictures of runners' feet. So if you run, now I know, right? Everybody knows. I just Googled ugly feet. And this is what I got. Straight out of Runner's World. Okay. If you're interested in this, the article is The Ugliest Feet of Runners, and you're welcome to do some more research. But the point of me putting all that up there is to say this. This is how you serve nothing. No one is above this. That's what it means to follow Christ. It means to learn of him, to obey him, and then follow in his example. Whatever it costs. So this is the path of faith. It's not just something that you check off on a card and then you're done. You continue on in it, learning, obeying, following. Some of you are like, why didn't you just leave that up there? That's so pretty and nice. Because it wasn't a pretty and nice picture. Okay. But it is our example. So the first thing we learn is faith continues on in Christ. The second thing we learn about faith is that it continues on in sacrifice. So how do we continue on? What does it look like to continue on in faith? Well, it looks like sacrifice. Your first blank. Continuing on in faith may cost you relationships. Luke 14:26. Let's turn over to Luke 14. Luke 14:26. Jesus is saying, okay, here is what it means to follow me. This is what it looks like. And he says in verse 26, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. So Jesus says, you want to follow me? You want to believe? This is what it's going to look like. There may be times that it costs you a relationship. You have to be willing to hate father and mother. And Jesus is not saying that you just have to be a teenager. Okay? Like, it's okay, dear. You're supposed to hate me. I'm your mom. Right? Okay? It's not what he's saying. Okay? Because, you know, in the process of growing up and independence and sin, most children at some point will say that they hate their mom. And that's not what Jesus is saying. It's like, great, you already hate your mom? Come follow me, right? Just to encourage you, I came across this is good. Willy Wonka meme. Oh, you hate your parents. Tell me about how they bought you a car, an iPad, an iPhone, food, and clothing. Okay. What he's really saying is that we have to be willing, because of our love for Christ, to say, my love for you is so strong that how I view other people and what I can get from them or whether or not I can be with them in comparison looks like hate. I mean, just put that in simple terms. You make a choice to follow Christ and someone in your family, a close friend, a brother, a mom, a dad says, why are you doing that? Jesus says, if you believe, you love me so much that the way that you talk to them, it's not that you are rude or crass, but the fact that you are choosing Christ over them looks like you hate them, and they may even say that. But that is what it means to follow Christ. That's the life of faith. Continues on. In sacrifice of relationships. You're willing to let go of others because you've been known and loved and called to follow the greatest one of all. The second thing it will cost you is your life. So at the end of that list, it kind of slipped in there, right? If you have to hate your father, your mother, your sister, your wife, your children, all of those people, and even your own life. And I think that should be intensified for us. So let's take that analogy of that love and hate a little further, right? So your love for Christ should be so strong that your love for your own life should look like hate in comparison. Take a quick test. Last seven days. Did you love Christ so much that it looked like you hated your own life? Seriously? That's what it costs to be a disciple of Christ? That's what it costs. Yeah. I mean, when's the last time that somebody said to you, looks like you don't even care. Like, it looks like, and you're like, I care about Jesus so much that I can't care about anything else. It will cost you your very life to the point that we surrender our rights. I'm done. Okay, I want to follow you. My rights are done. I surrender. I'm all yours. That's the cost of discipleship. The third thing, your third blank. Continuing on in faith will cost you comforts. Comforts. Verse 27. Whoever does not bear his own cross, cross, very important word in that sentence, and come after me, cannot be my disciple. See, what Jesus is saying when he says bearing his cross, he's saying something very uncomfortable. I mean, for us, the cross is not uncomfortable. It's pretty. It's encouraging. It's inspirational, right? I mean, this is how we view the cross today. Like when we're down in the dumps, we just pull out this cutesy picture of the cross and we put it on jewelry and we kind of look at it and we're like, press on. Yeah, it's like a yellow Live Strong bracelet. Fight, you know. But ultimately, before it is any of those things, it is very, very, very uncomfortable. Like in this day, to hear cross does not have the same connotation that it has today. I mean, we're talking instrument of torture. We're talking the picture of the tyranny of Roman oppression. We're talking everything vile, cursed, and uncomfortable. That's the cross to these people. And Jesus says, you follow me, you take that up. It's going to cost you your comforts, even just saying the word. So instead of seeing it this way, we must see it this way. That's the cross, right? It's going to cost you your comforts. It's going to cost you this, okay? And some of you are like, I've never done that. Yeah, right. You close the doors, okay? You got the bag of Doritos, right? Before long, you're lounged back and there's crumbs all over your belly and you stand up. You're like, oh, it's me. It's going to happen this week, I promise. It's going to happen. You're going to be like, John said. It's going to cost you your comforts. And I put that up and in comparison to the cross, like that is just so absurd. And I wonder, are you willing to say, I'm going to miss my show this week? I mean, that, like, let's just bring it right down. Like the next episode, there was a cliffhanger. There's always a cliffhanger. There's character development. I want to see what he's going to be like. Are you willing to say, I will lay that aside. I will take up the uncomfortable cross of Christ and I will follow him. That's what it will cost. And it will cost much more than that too. It'll cost more than you missing a TV show. Okay. It could cost you your very life, but Christ is saying, follow me and that is what I demand. Fourth blank, continuing on in faith may cost you possessions. It may cost you possessions. And that Jesus is really just with each of these layers, he's raising the stakes. So he says, in verse number 33, at the end of the little section here, therefore, any of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. This is not optional. Okay. You do not renounce all that you have, you cannot be my disciple. And that doesn't mean we pay our way into the kingdom. It simply means that we are willing to say no to everything and we follow. Now, when you hear the word discipleship, I think in your mind, you hear this like extra class of Christian. Right? Is anybody that way? Anybody think of like, oh, this stuff about following Christ, I'd like to join that club. Anybody like, that sounds like, oh, cool, I'd like to try that for a little bit. And then once I'm kind of had it, I'll jump back in the club I'm in right now. I don't like this club. Got a couch and Doritos. Okay. Do you understand what Jesus is saying here? He's not saying this is like a club. Okay. He's saying that this is what it means to believe. Discipleship is not like this advanced degree that you get if you'd like to be an expert. I mean, that's for like super missionaries. Discipleship is the life of faith. And so I found this video, and it's so, so helpful, and I want to show it because it really does put the stakes very high of what it means to follow Christ. So faith continues on in sacrifice. Let's watch this, and then we'll finish off our lesson this morning.
Today, he will agree to terms of surrender. He will agree to terms of peace, but they are his terms of peace, not ours. And his terms of peace are very simply this. You must hate your own father and mother and brother and sister and even your own life more than me, or you cannot be my disciple. And you must take up a cross and follow me, or you cannot be my disciple. And if you do not, you will meet me in the final judgment. You must transfer the ownership of all that you are and all that you have to all that He is. That's what He's saying. Your life is no longer your life, it is now His life. Your time is no longer your time, it is now His time. Your possessions are no longer your possessions, they are now His possessions. Your future is no longer your future, it is now His future. Your treasure is no longer your treasure, it is now His treasure. And you have transferred all that you are and all that you have to all that He is. That's what it is to meet His terms of peace.
The reason I show that is because discipleship isn't another class, is it? There's a lot at stake in following Christ. And it is that we would give Him everything. So that's what it costs. That's the terms of peace that He's made. The terms of peace that He has made are, follow me, follow me. I will show you mercy. And this is what it looks like. But the last thing I have to remind you of, if it costs so much, why does anybody do it? Well, for one reason, mercy on the day of judgment. But God is, He gives us more than just pardon. He gives us more than pardon. Faith continues on for reward, and this is the grace of God. So there's mercy of God, and there's grace of God. And in the grace of God, all who follow Christ are rewarded in both this life and the life to come. So this cost of discipleship is great. The race is not a straight path to glory. Right? It will cost you your very life. It will cost you everything. But you will not be left unrewarded because God is gracious to His disciples. So look at what it says. Jesus says to Peter. Peter began to say to Him, "See, we've left everything and followed you." Jesus says, "Truly, Peter, let me tell you about my grace. There's no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive a hundredfold now in this time." It's not just heaven. Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. What's He saying? Saying we'll be rewarded in this life. He's not saying that we're going to be materially rich. Okay? That's not what He means. Really, what I think He means is that what we renounce for Christ, we can find in the church. So if we leave behind relationships, God says, come in the church, these people will love you. You lose your job for following Christ. Let me show you what it means to serve the King in the church, because that will satisfy you. You say no to something. Let me show you what it's like to live in the church. But not just in the church. I think Christ Himself will make up for anything that we say no to the point that we can say with Hudson Taylor, "I never made a sacrifice. I never made a sacrifice." How can he say that? Because Christ makes up in Himself for everything that we deny. And in the life to come, eternal life with our Savior forever and ever and ever. Two quotes and we'll finish. Jesus, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame. To follow Him is your choice. You're warned. That was the video. But don't forget the joy. Fame, pleasure, riches are but husks and ashes in contrast with the boundless and abiding joy of working with God for the fulfillment of his eternal plans. I say, let's continue on in faith, gospel grace. It's worth it. He doesn't just pardon us and say, you can go. He graciously rewards us when we follow him. He doesn't have to. He's not obliged to. We do not earn these blessings. He graciously gives them to people that don't deserve them. Faith continues on for the reward. So this week, I want you to see this life of discipleship, and I want you to compare how you have been living with what we've talked about today. That's what we're going to ask the question of next week. That's faith. So what is your life going to look like this week? Live on in that sacrifice. Take up your cross daily and follow Jesus.